Lord, we just thank you for this time in your word. I thank you for these loving ladies, Lord. I thank you for the power of your word. Lord, I pray that you would just give me a peace of mind, Lord, a slow speech. I just want to speed through this sucker and get down. And I just know, Lord, that you want to speak. So I just pray that you would help me to have a calm heart, Lord, and just to surrender to you. And I pray, Lord, that you would change our hearts to be more like you. Lord, that you would use this time mightily for your kingdom. Lord, that we would let go, Lord, of who we are, the sinful old man, Lord, and that we would just put on your word, Lord, so that it can shine brightly for those around us, Lord, and change us and mold us. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so remember what we have been reading from the beginning of this book in Ephesians. We who have been adopted in as God's children, we've repented of our sin and asked God into our hearts. We've received salvation and have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. We're rich because of who we are in Christ. Here in our passage this week, Paul talks about the richness we have when we lay aside or we put off our old self, the old worn out and putrid rags that we were once wearing, and instead we dress ourselves, put on the new self created in the likeness of God. Then lastly, we put away those old clothes, wanting nothing to do with them again. We see here that we are called to do these three things if we are to walk worthy of the calling by God. We are going to put off, and then we're going to put on his righteousness and put away those things that easily entangle us. Paul is going to give us some very practical words of wisdom for us to walk in as we do this. So let's get started. Get your Bibles open, Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to pick it up in verse 17. And I'm going to go 17 through 19, our first little chunk. Therefore, I say this and testify in the Lord, you should no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thoughts. They are darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them and because of the hardness of their hearts. They became callous and gave themselves over to promiscuity for the practice of every kind of impurity with a desire for more and more. So he starts therefore, or because of everything he has written about in this letter. And in case you missed it, the first half of this chapter, we talked about the spirit of unity and the gracious gifts God has given us for us to be equipped and so that the body can mature and grow and be fruitful. Paul says at the beginning of this chapter to walk worthy of the calling. Here we see a clear contrast to no longer walk as the Gentiles walk. And so we might be wondering, the Gentiles now are the co-heirs. Paul talks about them being equal in Christ, being of the family of God. And so he's talking about the Gentiles who have not accepted Christ. He gave us another word of warning to do not walk as the world walks. This world is lost, and we have been found. 1 John 2, verse 15 says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever." We read that because the world has separated themselves from God, and due to their hard hearts, they want nothing to do with God. And instead, they want to indulge in the desires of their flesh, which will soon pass away, and they will always be seeking and never be fulfilled by their own sinful nature. They are excluded from the eternal life with God by the choice to willingly sin and refuse Christ as their Savior. The second chunk, verses 20 through 23, I have, "But that is not how you came to know Christ, assuming you heard about him and were taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, to take off your former way of life, the old self that is corrupted by deceitful desires, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put off put on the new self, the one created according to God's likeness in righteousness and purity of the truth. We read in verses 20 and 21, if anyone does not know Christ, it's because they refuse to listen to the truth and to be in relationship with him. We have the purity of the truth, God's word, which needs to be humbling us, sanctifying us, shaping us, maturing us, growing us up to become more like our loving Savior, so that others may see our intimate relationship with Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, that they may want to be saved from themselves and from this present darkness. What happens, though, after we get saved is we begin to walk closely with him for a little while. We can become a little too comfortable and a little too casual, and we can slowly drift away from the Lord. That is why we are actively putting off our flesh, renewing our minds with the purity of truth, the word, and putting on who we are in Christ. Verse 22 says, to take off your former way of life, the old self that is corrupted by deceitful desires. We have a clear job to not just be a little bit different than the world or to try to cover ourselves up with acting better, but to take off or put off entirely the former life. Paul says that the old self is corrupted by our deceitful desires. The word corrupted is defined in the Webster's Dictionary as to break, separate, or dissolve, to change from a sound state, to a putrid or putrescent state, to separate the component parts of a body as by a natural process, which accompanied by a fetid smell. When I read this definition, it reminded me of my first car, a 1989 Toyota Corolla. The car started out a beautiful cherry red when my dad got it, and over time, the body started to corrode, and it was just, by the time I got it, it was a little worn down, to say the least. I got this car, and it had rust set in, all this corruption. It was no longer the cherry, beautiful red, but more of a rusty, faded reddish. And my dad had given her to me in 2002. While I was tremendously grateful for a set of wheels that provided freedom, it brought me and my sisters, but the rust over time corrupted the metal of the body of the car that no amount of paint or body repair could ever cover or fix. Not only did it appear destroyed, but it no longer was working in her full glory. So much rust corrupted the trunk that every time it rained, everything in my trunk became saturated and ruined. And when I opened the trunk, a certain pungent, mildewy smell would just slap me in the face. God wants us to let go of our own sinful, stinky, corrupted way of doing things. He wants us to completely take off what we once were. He can make something useful, something absolutely pure and perfect in us. To cover up with new paint or a new repair isn't enough. He wants us to entirely take it off, take off our old self so that we can give him a completely new self. He wants to give us a new self because our hearts are corrupted by our own deceitful desires, by our sin. Paul says to take off this putrid, deceived former way of living. And then in verse 23 and 24, he says to be renewed in the spirit of your minds and to put on the new self, the one created according to God's likeness in righteousness and purity of the truth. Good news. He tells us how to take it off by being renewed. God has a new way of doing things, a new way of living. Have you ever felt that perfect peace that surpasses all your understanding and it transforms your anxiety into thanksgiving? I sure did this week as I was preparing and praying for what God wanted me to share. And it is his peace and purpose that has carried us through some of the hardest times. Can't we say that? It's being renewed by his Holy Spirit that gives us the strength to do what he's called us to do. It's the renewed love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, the fruit of His Spirit in me that allows me to take off the old and put on the new. Through the wickedness of fallen man, we will not know Christ. Instead, we have to have an intentional and intimate relationship with Christ through allowing Christ to do a new work in us by His Holy Spirit, providing all that we need to become less of ourselves and more like Him. Our minds need to be taken off the worries, the lies, the doubt that we have swirling around in our brains, and they need to be instead renewed with the purity of truth, God's word, and the power of prayer. It's a moment-by-moment battle. This is not an uninvolved exchange. This takes a purposeful prayer time, a purposeful time in God's word, an intentional relationship from us with a loving and righteous and holy, able God. He is able to take our old, corrupted, former way of life and renew us into who we are in Christ. A new creation, we are His workmanship in Jesus Christ, righteous in Him alone, if we are only willing to take off our old self and put on the new. Having God's word at the ready with combating truth with a specific verse to replace the fear or false thinking is critical. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here." So we are to put ourselves in Christ, don't hold on to our old habits, make new ones, and we might wonder how exactly to do that. How do we put on the new? Well, first we learned we have to put off the old. We have to be willing to die to ourselves. Philippians 1:21 says, "For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Are we willing to die to ourselves? Are we willing to live in Christ? That means every hour I need Thee. I need to be continually setting aside what I want for what Christ wants in my life, in my marriage, in my parenting, in my relationships with others, setting aside my attitude. Here Paul says to live is Christ and to die is gain. In other words, there is nothing in this life that is more important than living for Him. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. The shows I watch, the music I listen to, the books I read, the people I hang out with, they all have an influence on how I live." And we want to put into our hearts what we need to be actually putting on by spending time in relationship with Christ. We need to be spending time worshiping, praying, and thanksgiving for who He is. We need to not just be in His word, but hiding His word into our hearts that we may not sin against Him and instead start to change and become transformed to be more like Him, not just for this world, but also for me. For me to be filled with His joy, His peace, His love, the fruit of His Spirit in me that will pour out into my life and be a testimony of who my Creator is to everyone around me. Let's take a look at the next passage together in verses 25 through 29. "Therefore, putting away lying, speaking the truth, each one to his neighbor, because we are members of one another, be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger, and don't give the devil an opportunity. Let the thief no longer steal. Instead, he is to do honest work with his hands so that he has something to share with anyone in need. No foul language should come from your mouth, but only what is good for building up someone in need, so that it gives grace to those who hear." Here we have a list of four areas in our attitudes that need to be put away. We know we should not do them, but we're still sadly battling with sin. Paul addresses it, that we still stumble. Now that we put off the old self, put on our new self, we need to put away what will harm us because we do not yet have our glorified bodies. until after Christ comes back for us. So we will still struggle with our old nature. Here are some warnings Paul gives the church of Ephesus and for us here today. Let's pick at them one at a time. Here we go. Therefore, putting away lying, speaking the truth, each one to his neighbor, because we are members of one another. It hurts the body of believers when we speak anything but the truth. And like Luann talked about last week, if we're going to say something, it needs to be said both in love and truth. Sometimes we just want to be nice, and we might want to say a little white lie that makes someone feel better. But again, we need to be holding what is true and what is loving together. In verse 15 of chapter 4, it says, "But speaking the truth in love, may we grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Anything that is not spoken in both truth and love can cause harm and has potential to affect the body of believers." In North Idaho, we are very familiar with forest fires, especially during the summer season. One of the deciding factors of how bad our fire season is going to be dependent upon how much snow we get, right? All it takes for a massive forest fire to go down in flames is for someone to carelessly flick a cigarette butt out a car window, and then it wildly spreads. When we lie about others, we don't think about the amount of damage that it could cause and the detriment, not only to others, but also to our reputation. Our little tongue can be harmful, not only to the person we talk about, but also all the people that lie spreads to. All the people that hear it, and also our own reputation, goes down into flames with it. We can become known also for not telling the truth. Remember the snow accumulation that affects the amount of fires we have. If we're washing ourselves regularly in the Word and spreading it over our body, a blanket of protection, to be committed to telling the truth to each other, choosing not to talk about each other and only be saying what is our business, we can prevent a forest fire of damage from ripping through our body of sweet sisters and brothers in Christ. My point is that our thoughts and opinions about people and situations, they need to be kept to ourselves. These behaviors can hinder anyone and all of us. And that's why Paul tells us here to be cautious, because it has an impact on our whole culture. In the beginning of our workbooks, you'll notice those principles of the Calvary Rathdrum Women. And it's a good reminder for us to go back and look at those again. We need to be in prayer, and we need to be women who are committed to telling the truth and holding each other accountable to that. Verses 26 and 27. "Be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger, and don't give the devil an opportunity." Here it says, "Be angry and do not sin." This gives some people freedom to say Jesus was angry with the tax collectors in the temple after all, and he overturned tables. I'm going to share, though, roughly how one commentator put it. The thing with God is he is all-knowing. He knows all the situations, all the sides, all the hearts involved, and we don't. However, there's a caveat. There is a righteous anger. We can feel in clear opposition to sin, right? Clear sin should anger us and repulse us. Gossip, abortion, the killing of innocent babies, transgender rights, clearly a sin in Scripture and causing confusion in our kids today. And the list goes on. A majority of the anger, though, we deal with is what Paul is talking about here. And he clarifies with anger that causes us to sin. Proverbs 29:11, "A fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back." Proverbs 29:22 says, "An angry man stirs up strife, and a furious man abounds in transgressions." Solomon exhorts us to hold our tongue in our anger because the end result is sin. Have you ever seen someone erupt in a volcano of fury? It looks so foolish to be on this side of it, but when you are the one erupting, it's really hard. You don't see yourself. You lose self-control, which is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And this is why Paul warns us with an extra weapon for when we do sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and thus giving the devil a foothold in our hearts. When we sin, we need to be quick to confess and quick to forgive. Because if we neglect to do that, bitterness can brew in there and become self-destructive in our own hearts and pour out into others. Verse 28 says, "Let the thief no longer steal. Instead, he is to do honest work with his own hands so that he has something to share with anyone in need." Paul lists one of the Ten Commandments we see here. You shall not steal. And the familiar verse of 2 Thessalonians 10, verse 10, I think it's chapter 5, says, "In fact, when we were with you, this is what we commanded you. If anyone isn't willing to work, he should not eat." We might say to ourselves here today, phew, finally one I don't struggle with. I'm no thief, and I work hard with my own hands. But what the Lord brought to my heart was my stinginess. Sometimes I can be a little stingy. I'm stingy with my time, my resources, and it's all the Lord's. Am I robbing the Lord? My time feels so limited sometimes. There's kids that need to be carted everywhere. There's school that needs to be done. Never-ending, insurmountable amount of housework and the constant making of food. But what about me? When do I get to do something I want to do? Paul tells us in the verse to be careful of causing ourselves harm by stealing. All we have is God's. All our resources, all our time, all our finances, our abilities, we can be taking it for ourselves or giving it to the benefit of others for blessing hearts. Maybe not at first when we have to let go. It can be really hard, I know. But afterwards, when we see the effects of our offering, doesn't that in turn bless our hearts to share what God has freely given us? Verse 29 says, "No foul language should come from your mouth, but only what is good for building up someone in need, so that it gives grace to those who hear." It's important that we check ourselves with our speech. We talked about that. We must not always be pouring out profanity, or we must not be pouring out profanity at all. Maybe this is something you struggle with. I don't know. Because it's a huge problem in our culture today, isn't it? It's something we might need to work on. Paul exhorts us again to say what is building up, what's encouraging, what's filled with love and truth. Words are super powerful. More important than communicating, it impacts what we say. It impacts others, what we say, for good or for bad. It can leave an impression that people sometimes can carry their whole lifetime. As we mature in Christ, we experience his power and no longer have a desire to tear others down. Instead, we want to be building them up. The result in this verse is that those who hear what is good and for building up will receive grace. The common definition for grace is unmerited favor. However, a couple definitions down, we read favorable influence of God. Divine influence, or the influence of the Spirit, in renewing the heart and restraining from sin. Don't we want that for our near and dear family and friends? Someone that's influenced by the Spirit and not by sin, that will have a spirit that builds them up instead of a spirit that tears them down. Verse 30 says, "And don't grieve God's Holy Spirit. You were sealed by him for the day of redemption." In the New King James Version, it says, "Do not weary God also." Have you ever grieved or been weary? You know that feeling. When we willingly sin, we are grieving the Holy Spirit. Not only can we harm ourselves and those around us, but our sin has a deep effect on the Holy Spirit. We will not lose the Holy Spirit because we are sealed by him. But when we choose our sin over him, he suffers. 1 John 1:6 says, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." 1 John 2:4 says that he who says, "I know him," and does not keep his commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Are we living in the truth if we willingly live in the darkness of sin? No. If we walk in the darkness with our sinful nature and refuse to repent, we cannot be putting on our new self. We'll be choosing our old self instead, and that is our flesh, which is extremely unclean, and our acts of righteousness are as filthy rags. Verses 31 and 32. "Let all bitterness, anger, and wrath, shouting, and slander be removed from you, along with all malice. And be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God also forgave you in Christ." Here we have a list of similar sins, all having to do with our mouth in verse 31. Letting bitterness brew in us, it can turn into anger, and wrath towards someone that can turn grow along with having malice or a desire to cause harm or extreme ill for one another. What a word of warning to quickly cast these stumbling blocks aside as we run this race together. When we find an impurity in our hearts, when we know we have sinned against whomever, it is important to confess it and repent to the Lord and others we've been sinning against, so that we can be reconciled and restored with our forgiving Redeemer and the person that we sinned against. We need unity, repentance, and forgiveness in Christ in order to be pure in him. 1 John 1:8 says, "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us." That was 1 John 1:8. In verse 32, we see instead we need to be putting on kindness and compassion for one another and forgiving each other in Christ. We need to be leaving off the old self, and as soon as we act out in our flesh, we need to take it off and repent of it, whether it's to the Lord and we have sinned and we need to confess to him, or someone else. Let's open our Bibles, if you have them handy, to Psalm 51. I love the Psalms. Whenever I am sad or just in need, they have so ministered to me. And this one came to my mind as I was going through this. And it's also a worship song. But Psalm 51, verse 10, the whole psalm is amazing, of course. But verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise." The Lord wants to create in us a clean heart. We need to be willing to give him our hearts and do with it what he wants to do. And turning to him, asking him to renew his spirit in us, because he doesn't want all of our acts of righteousness. He wants our hearts, and he wants broken hearts that are willing and in love with him. We are called to be in the world, but not of the world. We read in John 17 a prayer Jesus prays for his disciples, verses 15 through 19 of John 17. I'm not praying that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. I sanctify myself for them, so that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Here we read that the word is truth, and it washes us, it sanctifies us. It's what makes us holy. It's what sets us apart from the world. This is how we put off our old self and put on the new. Through the wickedness of our own hearts and fallen man, we will not know Christ. Instead, it's by having an intentional, intimate relationship with Christ, through allowing Christ to do a new work by his Holy Spirit, providing all that we need to become less of ourselves and more like him. You know, our toddlers can't even dress themselves. They need us to dress them. We need the Lord to dress us. And I don't know about you, as a mom, I go through outfits all day long. In the morning, I'm wearing my pajamas during my quiet time, drinking my tea, and then I get on the sweatpants to get all the work done, and then I put on the jeans so that I can go out, and the kids are like, where are you going? Because you put on jeans. And then, you know, then the evening comes and I get back in my pajamas. We need constantly, this isn't, you know, throwing off, putting on, throwing off, putting on. It's a constant relationship with the Lord that we need. By repeatedly putting off our flesh, confessing our sins, we can pick up these bad habits again, these sinful desires. And then we purposely need to be putting on our new self by saturating ourselves in his word, and spending time in prayer, and spending sweet time with each other. And we can be clothed in Christ. It takes an intentional attitude of humility and putting away the sin that so easily entangles us, so that we can fulfill the calling God has for us while we eagerly await his return. Something Luann has encouraged me with is memorizing a piece of scripture and having that truth hidden in me so that when I need it, it's there. And it took me a long time to memorize Psalm 5:11, but I wrote it on a card, and she encouraged me even just to put it in a sandwich baggie and tape it in my shower. And I would write it out over and over again, and I was surprised at how God could use that one verse to bless me in so many areas and pour out into those around me. So I put out note cards on the tables in your small groups, and if you would take one and put a piece of scripture down on it when you get home or whatever, and then put it where you can see it, because God will pull out that truth and he will use it. It will not return void. And so I really encourage you to do that, to be hiding his word in your heart. And if it takes a whole month, that is A-okay. God will use it and refer back to it. I don't have it memorized, but I can look up, you know, look it up. It's okay. The more we say it, the more we look it up, the more we read it, it gets stuck in there. And then God uses it. So let's pray, ladies. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time in your word. We thank you, Lord, for your powerful word that has the ability to change, Lord, who we are. I pray, Lord, that we would be surrendered to you, that you would give us hearts, Lord, that are soft and willing, Lord, to confess our sins, Lord, to turn to you, to put on, Lord, who you are, and let go of who we are. Lord, that we would be a light in this world, that we'd be filled with your compassion, your forgiveness, Lord. It is only through you, and we're so grateful for you and all you've done. For Lord, we thank you for your word. I pray for these ladies that you would help them to carve out the time this week to spend time with you, the importance of it, Lord, and that they would just be blessed, Lord, by their time in your word and with each other. We love you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.